Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living in Alignment with Julie. I'm your host, Julie Kara Hoffenberg, and the author of Homeless to Happy in a Split Second. You can find my book and information at Julie Kara, C-A-R-A, Hoffenberg.com. Today, I'll be deep diving into my book, as well as another book, Living from Within, written by E.J. Seals Jackson. You can find her book and information at E.J. Seals, S-E-A-L-S, Jackson.com. While E.J.'s book provides more of the theoretical background and framework for creating an empowered life, my book provides an in-depth real-life experience in which I put into practice the principles E.J. provides. Ultimately, our books are tools to navigate a way back to the soul, the energy that resides within, and how to allow that to guide your life. We will share some brief excerpts from our books today and highlight some key points that may help you tap into your inner life, or what I like to call your inner compass. The inner compass always steers you the right way. It cannot misguide you when you begin to hear its voice and follow the guidance instead of the external voices around you. So we'll be beginning today with EJ's book, Living from Within, and find out more about not only the principles she discusses, but also how the book came about. Also, if you have questions for EJ or me, please join us in the chat room below the scrolling photos on the show page. You can also find the recorded and downloadable shows here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can search them on iTunes under Living in Alignment with Julie. Sometimes it can take 20 minutes to a couple of hours to show up in each place. All right, so let's talk books today. I love books. I love how they shift our lives for the better, how they bring us into the present moment and give us tools to improve things bit by bit. So I'll bring EJ on. Just give me one moment here. Hello, are you there, EJ?
I am here. Hey, Ebony.
I'm Ivory. Wow. I think you're Ebony.
Oh, okay. We do get that mixed up. But like, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
I love it. Wow. Wow, you are so good. And I hear this really struck inner compass. Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. And that's really what my book is about. So where are we going to start? Okay. The book is inspired by experiences. You know, we all go through life. And we all go through this dark night of the soul. And at some point, it's like, you know, we always search. It's like, what is the answer? What is the answer? And I found the answer. And that's why I'm able. And once we get into this, it's just like your book, Jules. You could not have kept that information to yourself, even if you wanted to. Same here. Once we get into the understanding that there is a better life, one that is in fact perfect if we take advantage of it, you know, it's something that we have to share. So over 30 years, you know, of this search, I finally found the answer, and that is what I'm sharing with you. Just a quick little side issue here. It's just something I read. I listened to Michael Beckwith. Which, you know, Reverend Michael Beckwith, you're familiar with him, very powerful brother. And he was just saying, you know, he was saying he's a reverend. He said, but don't get caught up on that. He said that religious people, he said, I'm not religious. He said religious people are trying not to go to hell. Spiritual people have already been there.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to say that, yeah.
I know. I mean, have we not been there? And we are now coming out on the other side of that. So anyway, so I just thought that was just really cool. I love this guy. If anybody wants to check out his work, Michael Beckwith, you said you've been to his church, right, Julie? You said you've been to his church.
Yeah, Michael I have. It, Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really applicable to anybody of any religion or spiritual background, and was just a wonderful experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So having said that, I'm going to start. We're doing like passages from our books, and I am going to start with the introduction, which is such a logical place after Julie pointed that out to me. Why not start with the introduction? So I am going to read the introduction. This is the introduction to Living From Within. Okay. Conventional wisdom tells us that there are no guarantees in life, but I and the thousands of others who are coming to understand how life works and the utter simplicity of the process begs to differ. The problem is that society has led us to believe that that happiness is something outside of ourselves, when in fact it is now and has always been an inside job. This means that our happiness, which is the ultimate goal of living from within, is not only guaranteed, it is inevitable. So if you find this idea to be intriguing, reading this book, yeah, I could have left out that little set. We'll deliver the goods, but it will deliver the goods, okay. The path to spiritual enlightenment is not for the faint of heart. It typically takes 3 to 4 decades of brief mountain highs, invariably followed by longer periods of valley lows. But for those of us who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, all of that is about to change. In this book, you will be introduced to some amazing teachers who themselves have gone through the dark night of the soul, emerged as powerful spiritual teachers, and are amply prepared to guide you, as was the case with me, fastest, most simple, not to be confused with easy until it becomes so, means of settling into the flow of happiness that is the cornerstone of living from within. Okay, what I would like for people to walk away from this discussion today is to really know that we change the world by changing the way that we look at it, the way we think about it. That's what I really want us to get. And this is real. This is not something that we are making up. Words do not teach. We teach through the clarity of our example. And I think that Julie and I both kind of express that in terms of we are living from within. The book goes from the feelings, which we're going to start off with, but it ends up talking about the mystic. Now, I know that sounds a little bit airy-fairy, but when you really get down to it, all a mystic is, and, you know, you think of that in the, you know, in terms of God and that kind of thing, the mystic is one who pays attention to feelings, that have an intimate connection with feelings and are guided by our feelings. That is that inner compass that Julie referenced earlier. So I will start with feelings. And I also want to say, Julie, jump in any time. You know, if there's something that you could, well, I'm sure you will, that you could clarify what I'm saying. Feel free. Okay. My book starts off talking about the idea of feeling. And as I've said many times before, the reason it took me so many years to get here is because I was not aware of my feelings. And what did I want to say? Okay. We believe this is why we want things in our life. This is why we want the cars, the clothes, the yachts, and all of that, because we believe that by getting those things, it will make us feel good. But we want to flip that script. Let's feel good, and we will get those things. If that's what it takes for us to bring us happiness, those things will appear in our lives. So this is the idea with feelings. Are we aware of our feelings? Because if we're not aware of our feelings, this will all be a moot point. The idea is, and that's what we've all been missing. We know about our thoughts that go up in our heads, the chaos that they can produce. We know about a little bit about our thoughts, you know, not how destructive they are, but we are aware of our thoughts. Our feelings, it's an enigma to the masses. So that's where we must start. We must be able to be aware of our feelings, because there's no experience that we can have unless we feel it, and that includes the energy that we know is God. It brings us to one of the greatest paradoxes that we have here. In order to feel good, we have to feel good. Okay. But fortunately for us, that's really not a problem, because we have access to our feelings. And when we have access to our feelings, we can feel anything that we want to feel. Now, another point I want to bring in is the reason that we don't feel good. First of all, be aware of your feelings. Let's start there. The reason that we are not feeling good is because emotional conflict. Our negative emotions are battling with our positive emotions. More often than not, the negative emotions win out. So another author that I recommend in my book is G.P. Walls, a spiritual teacher. He has a process called inner reconciliation, which is kind of another cool thing about this book, is because I bring to you the people, some of the people who made this thing like really, really easy for me. When I read Never God, I learned about feelings. So now I am in touch with my feelings, and I'm really living in accordance with that. When I listened to G.P. Walls, I understood how important it is that I accept my feelings, whether I think they are negative or positive. They are, in fact, just feelings, and they are inside of us, and we're not going to be able to get rid of them. So we go through all this self-help stuff. We buy everything on the market, listen to everything in order to get rid of our negative emotions. But that is not doable. What we can do is reconcile the negative emotions with the positive emotions and just recognize they are both feelings. And another thing I want us just to be aware of in terms of feelings, our bad or negative feelings and good positive feelings, they come from the same place. Pit of our stomach, known as the solar plexus. So that's just kind of an interesting concept. It lets you know you can choose, because they're both right there, and then they are available to you. So you can choose the ones that you know, you can choose to feel feelings that make you feel bad, or you can choose to feel feelings that make you feel good. So that's up to you. The next point that I want to bring up is the law of attraction. We have to know that the law of attraction is real. And I am really with that program now. So what the law of attraction says, that which is like, what is it to like unto itself is drawn. Okay. So what that means is, if we are thinking certain thoughts, the universe brings more thoughts like that. Also, thoughts carry a vibration. A thought can make you feel good, or a thought can make you feel crappy. So whichever thought you are thinking, it carries with that vibration, and the law of attraction is going to replicate that. So the other thing I want to say about that in terms of feeling, that's why we go out, the world tells us you got to get all of this stuff and do all of these things in order to be happy and to feel good. But let's start with the feeling first. Let's start with that first, and let the feeling be the evidence. If it, whatever it is that we are desiring, how would it feel to have this thing? How would it feel to have this item? And like the best example, you know, when Julie was talking about her trip to Greece, She was just feeling really, really good about that. And that's the only reason she wants to go to Greece in the first place, because she believes it's going to make her feel good. So what she just kind of did, she just kind of cut out the middleman. She just went straight to the feeling. And the feeling is the evidence that whatever it is that she enjoys, it is inevitable. It will occur. And it really cannot work any other way. The next thing I want to go to is, well, it's kind of when we change the way that we look at a thing, the thing we look at changes. Okay. The reason that is true, and some ways to do that, we must recognize that everything external to ourselves is an illusion. Now, we can live the good illusion or we can live the not so good illusion, but we must know that is an illusion. See, and if we recognize that everything is an illusion, we will also understand why suffering is unnatural and unreal. We can, there is no such thing in the real world, in our reality, there is no such thing as illness. There is no suffering. There is no discord. There is no dis-ease. And when we get with that, we understand that that's what it is. It is in our lives because we have created that with our thoughts and feelings. And once we begin to understand that, now, the universe, it's the universe's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of heaven. That's why we have our thoughts and we have our feelings. And we can use those feelings. So we know that we have those tools to create our lives. So the universe believes if you are thinking about a particular illness, that's what you want. The universe does not discern whether this is good for you or bad for you. It just says, okay, she's thinking about the coronavirus. This is obviously what she wants. And the universe brings it to you full force. But we can also, if we are thinking about what's right with life and the beauty of life and the loving experiences in life, if we are thinking about those kinds of issues, then the universe just brings us more of that. My point here is I want you to know how important it is to feel good. We have access to feeling good. I talk about love a lot, the experience of love, and the presence of the feeling of love. The outer world disappears. And it does not have to be the feeling of love. It can be the feeling of appreciation, the feeling of gratitude, the feeling of pleasure, of fun, of joy, of eagerness, enthusiasm. We can grab any one of those that we want or a combination of all of those. And when we are in the feeling space of either one of those things, then the universe is just going to bring us more of that. And it's infinite. There's no end in sight. But it is important. We must feel good. If we want good to come, we want good experience, we have to feel it into being. And I'm going to say one thing here that I just heard just very recently, and then I'm going to give it back to you, Julie, so that we can make sure that we are on track and, you know, I'm being clear here. I was listening to Neil Donald Walsh, and who was author of The Conversation with God, who was also homeless. So when I just listened to him recently, and I, of course, I thought about you, because he was saying when he was homeless for a year, and he was saying when you are homeless, you realize it really doesn't take that much for us to be happy. When you go through something like that, it really, you realize you really never needed all that stuff to be happy. But this is what he said. He said, we have a paradigm. We go according to the have, do, and be paradigm. He said, let's shift that paradigm. Let's start with being happy, being loving, being kind, being compassionate. He said when we are being these things, we do what the people with these characteristics do, and then we have what the people with those characteristics have. So I'm going to, like, leave it with that, Julie, so you just kind of step in here and kind of let us know where we are.
Yeah, you asked if the stuff was clear. It definitely is clear that you're taking people on this journey of, A, how you started out, dark night of the soul, and going through some things that led you to this big tool bag of things and offerings that helped you. So you're sharing partly those things, partly your journey, and some incredible stories. It's kind of funny that you began to read from the intro, because when we were planning this show, I said, oh, I'll pick out a few quotes that I think summarize some things really well too. And you read one of the quotes that I had picked out, which is exactly how this stuff happens every time we start doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, the part in the very beginning where you said the problem is that society has led us to believe that happiness is something outside of ourselves, when in fact it is now and always has been an inside job. This means that our own happiness, which is the ultimate goal, as well as the inevitable outcome of living from within, is not only guaranteed, it is available to, I think, everybody, everywhere, all of the time, or to, you know, infinitely, something of that nature. So, you know, that is so exactly what both of our books are trying to bring people to.
Yeah.
And when we think about this thing called happiness, I think we're using that more in an umbrella term, because, you know, happiness is everything from feeling pretty content and just silent and at peace to ecstatic bliss, which we know not everyone is in 24 hours a day, nor is that really human nature. But these overall, this broad spectrum of positive feelings of wellness, well-being, feeling a sense of alignment, just the sense of happiness and presence. But it's good just to clarify that so people don't think we're talking about this hokey happiness thing, like pretending that bad things don't happen or whatever. This is a, like you said, it may got, I wrote this down. It cannot be confused with easy, but it's simple. And the reason why it's not easy is because we're inviting this practice all the time. So when we feel ourselves slip, you invite it back in. I mean, I literally, listening to you, I'm experiencing this because I come into my little room here. It's totally quiet. I have a great window that blocks out noise. And it's mowing day a few feet from me behind us. So the guy's mowing his yard. The dog next door, who's a doll, we love her, but she's barking like a maniac. And then we have a visitor bird that comes to us, and his name is Scrubby. We've named him Scrubby the Scrub Jay. And he's taking an acorn, and it's like he wants desperately to get into the house and, you know, get these good vibes happening. He's taking an acorn and he's slamming it on the roof, which usually means his seeds are empty. So I could be in total resistance to that and let that just, you know, put me in a state of so much frustration and anger that my, you know, quote, my show is being interrupted. Mm-hmm. But I have a choice to respond to that, and I choose to think it's really funny.
So, and it is.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean that that process is always easy for everyone, and, you know, this experience is not as bad as many experiences, obviously, but it's like sharpening a tool. You're like, okay, take a breath, Julie. The worst that can happen is there's like a little buzz from the mower in the background. No, I don't have a perfect microphone. This show came about kind of spontaneously, and, you know, I don't have a lot of equipment yet, which is okay. So these are like the thoughts that you hear yourself thinking, and then you just settle yourself down. You're like, hey, the show goes on. So, you know, it all plays into this idea that you're giving everybody, that it's a practice. We're sharpening our tools. It's a practice. Don't beat yourself up. And another thing that you mentioned is that, you know, the dark night of the soul is done. So that was a question I had for you. Do you think, given the tools and the practice that you've been going through, that in the future you could ever experience something to the depth that you experienced when you were going through your own dark night of the soul? Or do you think it's basically done?
That would be impossible for me to do. That would be absolutely impossible for me to go through that again. And for one good reason, because I understand that the error is in the thinking. And that's what I really would like people to get. Now, in order for me to do that, I would have to literally bring up thoughts that bring up negative emotions and create that experience. I would not do that, you know. I did
right.
it before, but I was doing it by default. I did not know better. I did not know what I was doing with those negative thoughts. So the answer to that, no, that is impossible. It is impossible for me to have an illness, okay? And the reason is because I focus on wellness. I'm not trying to fight off any illness, but when we are in a certain frame of mind, none of that other stuff can come near our dwelling. It just cannot. So that's just such a great question. And I think it just kind of brings out back to us is recognizing the illusion of it all. And that's another thing. When that outer stuff, it's not real. The only thing that is real is what I feel. That is all that is real. That feeling is my inner compass, and that's what is real. And if it doesn't come from that space, it was created through my thinking mind. And if my thinking mind thought it up and I can think anything I want to, then it's not real. And I hope that people understand what I mean by this illusion thing. It's like we got the world of form and we have the world of spirit. I live in the high 90% of the time in the world of spirit. Rarely do I go outside of that. Everything arises from within. Like an example, I may have given this example before, an ice cube. An ice cube looks really real. You know, but if you look at it and leave it laying out, it returns to its source, which is water. Our source is energy. We are our source. We came from a formless, fluid energy that can be and is manipulated according to our thoughts. So we can use that energy to create whatever it is that we want to create. So why not use that energy to our advantage? So it just, if it's not coming from a place of feeling, if you're in a compass, does not guide you to a place of well-being, then you're looking at another source. We can build whatever we want to build external to ourselves, but it's no more real than an ice cube. Our inner being, our source is energy, just pure positive energy. And That's where I am, and I really say that I am so grateful. Oh, I'm so grateful that I can ignore all of that. Another little quote I want to give you wasn't actually my quote, but it's like, there is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path. So we must stop. It starts with happiness and feeling good. It ends with happiness and feeling good. And if we know that, we are ahead of the game. What took me so many years is I didn't know that. But what we're inviting you to do is to start with the solution. The solution is the feeling of love. The solution is the feeling of joy. And then we go with the understanding, because of the law of attraction, we cannot get anything other than that. Love, joy, appreciation, gratitude, the feelings of these things, that's very powerful. And I'd like to put that same question back to you, Julie.
Yeah, the feeling is really powerful. And a lot of people will say, okay, I want to come back to that feeling of love. And maybe they're in the extreme or the depths of something very difficult. And I found for myself, when I couldn't jump that quickly from the feeling of, like, let's say, total desperation, isolation, despair, that sort of a thing, to complete happiness, a really good exercise is in Abraham Hicks' book, Esther Hicks. She channels Abraham, and there is an exercise in Ask and It Is Given, and it is, I think, working up the emotional scale or something to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So she gives a whole guide to the various emotions, and you can literally point to where you're at and look at the emotion above it, and sort of baby step your way up the sliding emotional scale. So it's not having that expectation of jumping directly into love when you know you don't really actually feel it. You have to be authentic with these practices. So sometimes mm-hmm. you baby step up from despair to, let's say, sadness. Maybe sadness is just a little bit better because you at least have some hope, but you're a little bit sad. And then from sadness, you get kind of mad and you're building energy. And then you kind of cross that, the crux. You know, you come to the top of the mountain, and then the downhill feelings are a lot easier. And bam, you find yourself back at love. But, you know, like we said, it's the tool. It's about practicing and being deeply attuned with your thoughts. I think I wrote a quote down from your book, too, about thoughts, which is perfect. Let me see here. Eckhart Tolle informs us that 98% of human mm-hmm. thought is repetitive and useless. Once these outdated thoughts are brought out of the darkness and into the light of day, we are no longer imprisoned by them. Through the freedom of that clarity, we begin to live our lives from the inner space of our own feelings. So this mm-hmm. is kind of what we're talking about, because if you're in a place of despair, or let's just say any negative emotion, ask yourselves, what am I thinking? It's probably 98% of those repetitive thoughts that are not even yours. They're someone else's. They've been given to you, or you've adopted them from somewhere, or you read them, or they're not even your experience. But when you shine a light on them, you say, okay, well, that thought doesn't really work for me anymore. I can create a new thought. And from that new thought, you're going to drive a new feeling. Even if you can't get the best feeling right the second, you can get you can reach for a little bit better thought. So, mm-hmm. so I love that, the whole way that you phrase that in the book. I just think that's marvelous.
Yeah. You know, I actually, that's so beautiful what you said, but actually kind of my question was, but this is more important. Could you ever go back through that dark night of the soul?
Oh, could I go back?
Right.
I don't think that I can. I can't conceive of it. I can actually go into the feelings of, like, let's say someone deeply close to me who passes away. I can kind of mm-hmm. advance feel that or experience mm-hmm. a trauma like that in advance of it being, and know that I could come back from it and be just fine. Or to okay. have loss, or, you know, something of that nature. I don't think I could ever go back to the place where, you know, before I moved into my car and quit listening to myself and just was mm-hmm. not living through my feelings. I was just completely trapped in my thoughts. It's like not even a figment of my possibility in my head at all.
Exactly. Exactly. You are, I just love that. And that is very free. It's just, yeah. And why would we? I mean, we would have to choose to go back to that, you know? And why
yeah.
would we choose that, you know? You know, I want to give an example. Coming back to the illusion, I'm just looking at something. This is such an example, I think, a great example of how illusions are created. Okay. And it kind of speaks to this idea of racism and that kind of thing. It's all an illusion, okay? Now, I told Jules that I saw this very well done commercial where this black woman is saying to her unborn child, it shows her beautifully pregnant, and she says, "You are coming into a world that will hate you because of the color of your skin." That's a done deal for that kid. I mean, that's a done deal. And see, that's how that illusion is created. The mind sees what it believes, and it believes what it sees, okay? So if that child, once that child is born, and that is continued to be put in his or her head, and if it's a boy, you got to give him the talk, you know, the police are going to be brutal to you. Now, you see, we can see where all that's going, right? So now, okay, I'm going to give you another illusion. I'm going to give you another. I have a little great nephew, seven months old, okay? Of course, he's just adorable. Now, let me tell you what his life is going to be like. He is going to be fun-loving, hugely respectful because it's his parents and family. They big on that. He's going to be taught to have fun. His aunt has already, I've already been commissioned to get him a copy. His name is Aries. I don't know if I said that or not. To get him a copy of Sarah and Solomon. And for those who have not heard of Sarah and Solomon, it's Abraham's versions of Law of Attraction that is designed for those from 5 years to 105 years. And that it teaches a child the Law of Attraction. Aries is going to know. I got a choice here. He is going to know if I get what I think about. He is going to stay with his feelings because he has somebody there to the joy that he is experiencing now. You know, that is going to be to stay with him because it's going to be cultivated in his experience. You know, my niece and I, we kind of came through all of this together, and we certainly did not know. We talk about it often. We had no idea about these things when we were parents, you know, when we are parents. But when we had younger children, we did not know that. But all she needs to do, this family needs to do, is let Aries know, have fun with this. Life is supposed to be fun. So while you got one child that has been told, oh, nobody, my parents, folks don't love me because I'm black, you know, not appreciating being black, we got a whole nother scenario here. And my point is, we get to choose. We get to choose what we teach, to choose how we want our children to grow up, the kind of people that they want to be. And the truth of the matter, it really cannot happen any other way. There is nothing that's going to be able to come in this kid's life that is going to change his mind. Because this is a knowing. This is not a belief. This is an absolute knowing. So it just kind of comes back. It all comes back. Let's change our thinking. And I don't care if it's racism, religion. When we change the way we look at things, the things that we look at change. And for us to feed this into our young people that you are some kind of less, and that's the message we're sending. You are less because of the color of your skin. The white America is not doing that to us. We are doing that to ourselves. You know, another thing that we got going on, and I'm going to certainly move on from that, you know, I read or heard somewhere how white America is really stepping up to the cause, and that's appreciated, and the hearts are in the right place. But I also heard someone say it's also sending a message in these inner city communities that we really don't matter. So we got the politicians, we got white America, we got the upcoming president, we got all the heavyweights who are focusing on the crimes, you know, I mean, the racial crimes and the police and all that. We got the world that's coming in and handling that and giving attention to that. And I heard this mother say, but what about my baby? So it's just, it's all an illusion. So we really have to examine where we are going with all this stuff. But anyway, let's move on. But I just, so back to the good example, you know, Aries is going to be fine. And if this other mother changes her mind and understands that the error is in the thinking, so will her child. So should I just go on to the next one, Julie, or you want to say something about that?
Oh, sure. You're welcome to go on to the next little part of your book you want to share. That's great.
Okay. The whole thing, one of the things that I do say in the book is everything that is happening is because of we have lost sight of love. We are no longer connected with love. We're not aware of love. And we're way more into this negative thinking than we are thinking about what's right and what's good and what's wonderful. And so once we do this, if we return to love, if we begin to make appreciation, gratitude, love, if we continue to make those our dominant vibrations, then we can turn this country around. And in fact, one person at a time, if we want world peace, we have to start with inner peace. And to return to love, I think the thing we need to do is acknowledge the evidence of the beauty in the universe. Just keep that as the forefront. I have come to realize that it is so important that I find thoughts, feelings, situations, ideas that make me feel good. And I realize now, at first, you know, you feel good for a while and then you drop back into the slump and you feel good and you almost say, well, it's almost like we're feeling good because it's not going to last. But see, that is not true. What has happened here is the momentum, okay? We have built up such a momentum that goes towards that negative bias. But what we have to understand, if we begin to get discouraged, it's like I'm not able to maintain this positive attitude, this feel. Yeah, you are. We have to stay with that practice long enough for that practice to take on momentum. We have to practice appreciation and gratitude long enough for that to begin to create more momentum. And then we will be geared more of a positive bias than a negative bias, and our worlds will correspond to that every single time. The next thing I want to talk about that I go into is I am. We talked about the I am effect. If we monitor our I am, if we look at I am love, I am appreciative, I am successful, I am, whatever we say after I am, it's like a genie in the bottle, and it will have to come to us. Now, what we can do, well, when I start, I am successful. You know, you got this stuff in your mind. Say, oh, no, you're not. You know, you failed at this, you failed at that. But if I stay with that I am long enough, I began to realize the successful part begins to take on more momentum than the idea of failure, and the success will prevail. Like we're saying, it's simple. It's so incredibly simple. This really is simply about changing the way that we think, and our lives will correspond to all of that. It is the feeling that we are looking for. When we are in this space of love and kindness and happiness and all this, that is exactly what we were getting out and to move into our lives. My next point is, living in the now, in the present moment. Now, I'm going to read another little quote from what Eckhart Tolle. He says, the world that we see out there is the world that we created in here, and it's all happening now. There is no life outside of now. There is never a time that is not now. The irony is that we are already living in the now. I am already living in the now. And I was listening to an interview by Eckhart Tolle. This was like a couple of days ago. And that point really, really came home to me. It is all happening now. The thoughts in my head, I am having those thoughts now. And because they are thoughts in my head and I'm having those thoughts now, I can change them. And when you really, like, get it all in one place, it's really not that difficult to change it. I can change this thought of resistance to one of ease. I can do this. So I'm really way more in tune to living in the present moment. I am living in the present moment. And I clearly understand, which is another quote in the book, nothing moves beyond the now except our thoughts. And we can think about that for a minute. Nothing moves beyond the now except our thoughts. Those 98% useless, repetitive thoughts, that's what changes. That's what takes us out there through that dark night of the soul. But when we really get that, and you can consciously become aware of that, that that is the only thing that is moving, it just makes a world of difference. There's nothing like living in the now. And I'm getting more into that. And I mean, I come from that space, and there's nothing that I need in the now moment that I don't already have. It's already done, which is another point that I wanted us to look at. It is already done. And the reason why it's already done is because we have everything already in terms of our thoughts and our feelings. The kingdom of heaven is within. And I find it interesting, and I might have said this before, how we can, you know, I've asked a few people, what does that mean? Why is that ignored? The kingdom of heaven is within. And you also get almost like a political response to that. It's not addressed. Now, I'm not talking about a lot of people, just the people that I've asked. They go to something that, well, you know, in the Bible it says, but that is the one thing, the kingdom of heaven is within. And to me, I would think that anybody, the community, the religious community, would jump on that, not anything against the religious community, but it is something that is so clear that it's just kind of ignored. So it's all inside of us, living in the present moment, and the present moment and feeling, I am. And feeling and the present moment, to me, are one and the same. I am feeling now, in the present moment. Let's see. Okay, the other thing I want to say about that I am, the I am. When I say I am, it anchors us into the solar plexus. When we say I am, we do feel that in the solar plexus. So it's inside of us. And that is where God resides. The thing that we call God, it resides within us. It just speaks back to the kingdom of heaven is within. And if I wanted to just kind of sum it all up, I would say feel good thoughts lead to feel good feelings. The law of attraction replicates that. The feeling of love is the grandest feeling that there is, but we don't have to go with the feeling of love. We can go with the feeling of appreciation, as long as it's the feeling of appreciation, gratitude. It gives us the vibrational foundation. And the book asks, and it is given. What is given is the feeling of whatever it is that we desire. And I encourage people to start with desiring a particular feeling, a particular emotion, inner peace, or whatever. Because once we get to that point, then we understand that the same principle applies to the material things that we want. So if it's something that we want, let the feeling be the evidence and stay with that feeling for a couple of days. Let the feeling be the evidence, and it is inevitable. It must happen. Happiness is within us. There's no way in the universe that we cannot be happy, but we cannot be aware of it. So that's
kind of
my summary. Yeah.
This is why we want people to read our books, because they're going to begin to understand this on a deeper level. We can only fit so much into like a 1 hour period, but when you're actually reading it and you're putting to practice the stuff that we're talking about, I mean, just sitting with the statement that the kingdom of heaven is within us,
mm-hmm.
to just sit with that and to pause and to breathe with it, when you really, really consider what that could mean. I mean, I never really thought about it a lot because I wasn't raised in a biblical background, but it is a phrase that we hear just out in society all the time. And it's so empowering to know that all of the feelings of heaven could be within us in any given
mm-hmm.
moment. I love one part in your book where you say we don't have to work toward happiness because it is something that we already have inside of us in the form of a feeling. Keeping that in mind, our only work to do is to become aware of that feeling, and the rest will take care of itself. So that's sort
mm-hmm.
of like living in that kingdom, living in that beautiful place in heaven, you know, which is, it just feels so good to be there. It's like you don't have to complicate it. It just feels good to be there. But people are, you know, they resist it. It takes time to say, A, that you deserve it and that you're willing to do it and take the minute and go feel it. And, you know, it's a practice like anything else, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I'd like for people to know also, the reality of this. This is real. I mean, I think you guys, everybody knows that I'm not making this up and Julie's not making this up. There are not a whole lot of people that I know of, but I'll tell you somebody else, Bob, who from Australia. If you remember his conversation, he was talking about feelings, and he is saying the same thing that we're saying here. This is the experience of the mystic, and like I said, it's another chapter that I added to my book. It's the mystic, and that is only, it's just what we're saying. There's nothing mysterious about the mystical experience. It is just one who have become attached to our feelings, living according to that inner compass, and that's just what it's about. And always alignment first. And as I'm thinking about it, you know, just stopping to get the alignment. And it's actually something I didn't do before this show. I mean, okay, let's keep that clear. I am in alignment, but what I typically do is I stop before anything that I am about to go into any endeavor. Alignment first. And I'm just thinking, I mean, I think the show went well, don't get me wrong, but I'm thinking I was so busy kind of looking at other things that I didn't stop to take that true moment of alignment. And I will take like 10 minutes and nothing. I mean, meditation to me, what meditation does, it quiets that thinking mind and allows us to, when the mind is still, the spirit emerges, okay? And once that feeling of spirit emerges, everything. There's nothing else for me to do. You know, there's nothing else to be done. But it's just kind of occurring to me that I did not do this before this show. I don't think that's a bad thing, but it just really would have been a little more comfortable for me had I remembered that. So, and it's just, it's a slight, well, it could be a slight difference, but alignment first. Stop and feel good. Stop and connect. Be aware of that inner compass. Be aware of that feel good space inside of us. Be aware of that. And it might take some time to get there. You know, it might even take half an hour to get there. But stay there because it will happen. And if you just get a minute of that, I think I heard you say that, Julie, if we just get a minute of that, okay, that 1 minute is more powerful than an army of doing and working and business. You will be amazed at how far that one alignment, taking that moment to find the feeling, that good feeling space, and that's all we're talking about, that good feeling space, that sources who we are. There is no darkness. There's only an absence of light. All we have is light. Come into the light. So yeah, alignment first.
Yeah, I think it's really good to be that transparent, you know, just about how we're feeling moment to moment. I mean, I couldn't sense anything from my end, but like knowing how you're feeling either in or out of alignment at any given point in the day is so important to keep us on track. And it's just coming back to our feelings, the meditation, you know, that sort of stuff. So I'm really glad that we had, you know, the whole time to give everyone such a nice chunk of what your book is about. Next week, we'll probably go into my book and give some juicy nuggets from there. I get this question a lot, like, oh, yeah, you lived in your car and it was adventure and it sure sounds pretty awesome. You must not have gone through anything really that difficult or really have that bad of feelings for you to be so stoked about your trip. So I'll leave everyone with kind of the feelings and the point from which I departed and got in my car. And this is how I'm having my realization. So I think it's important to share this for the transparency, but also to let everybody know that we're all human and we can feel this depth of sadness and also recover from it. So here's a little quick excerpt from Homeless to Happy in a Split Second. I'm angrier than I've ever been before. I'm angry for the person I allowed myself to become physically, mentally, and emotionally. I know better than this. I teach people how to do and be better than this. I'm angry at having failed most of what I created in my life. I failed with my 2 businesses. I failed to hold a steady job and get good benefits that my family taught me are of the utmost importance. I failed to leave several emotionally toxic relationships sooner, knowing I could have prevented what I felt presently. I failed to stay connected to the truth of who I am. So that is not my arrival point. That is not where I am today. But it shows you how bleak my feelings were about myself. And it is so important to be transparent about your feelings, if not to everyone else, to yourself. I mean, now it will be all over the world because I've exposed that to the world, which is a practice itself. But it's very, very healing to do that. But I want to leave people with that because it's just it's empowering to see the level of those deep, sad, dark feelings, and then here we are talking about the light and the beauty and how wonderful life is. And I never feel those things anymore. They're like looking at a stranger. So I'll share more about my journey next week and the book, Homeless to Happy in a Split Second. You can find that on my website, juliekarahoffenberg.com, or please visit EJ on her website, ejsealsjackson.com. So yeah, we have about 30 seconds, and I thank you for being with me today, EJ, and yeah. I'm excited to share more next week.
Is it Thursday or Tuesday? Well, you let us know. But anyway.
Yeah. We may do a show on Tuesday or Wednesday instead, but because I'm going to be hauling off to Mexico because I feel so good.
Yes, you are. Folks, this is such an interesting book. I got to get back into it. Such an interesting book. You will love Homeless to Happy. It's amazing. It really is. Thank you, Julie.
All right. Thank you, EJ. Talk to everybody soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.